Today comes from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Stand firm, therefore, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I text that fact. Our text today speaks of our being empowered in the Lord and the might of his strength. Paul is speaking of a struggle of hand-to-hand combat with our adversaries, the rulers, the authorities, the powers in the heavenly places. And he commands us to put on the whole armor of God with an idea in mind of the splendid armor of a Roman soldier. But I'd like to focus on one aspect of that soldier's armor today, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture describes the word as living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The sword and the swordsman. That is our discussion. The sword for the soldier is both a weapon of defense and a weapon of offense. For us, the word holds the same usage. It is a weapon of defense against Satan and his forces, and it is our weapon of offense to defeat them. That is the weapon God has given us to win the fight. To be a good swordsman takes practice and experience, dedication. One has to spend so much time at it that the sword becomes an extension of that person's body. He needs to know its capabilities, its reach, its limits, and the strength of the material itself relative to the object that will encounter. The swordsman must be alert and watchful at all times, for he does not know from which direction his adversary will come. As soldiers for Christ, we too, like the swordsman, need to have a sense of oneness with the word of God. We need to be alert and watchful at all times, so we never know in which direction the adversary will attack. We, as students of the word, know that it is extremely important to know about the history of the Judeo-Christian faith, from the roots from which our word comes. We need to understand the quality of our truth, which carries this word forth. We need to understand the doctrines of Scripture systematically. We need to be able to apply them pastorally. We have to have correct exegetical and hermeneutical procedures and principles. We need to be able to deal with the word in the original language. We have to understand morphology and syntax and grammar. Just as a swordsman needs to know about the alloys that are used in the different swords, the different shapes and styles of swords, and how they are to be used. But mere knowledge of the word is not enough. It is not enough even if we seek to have this for good and final purposes. The mere knowledge about the word does not save us, any more than new knowledge about swords and swordsmanship will save a soldier. To place our hope, our trust, our very lives, in the lives of those to whom we are called to minister, in our own skills, in our own knowledge, is a false hope and a false trust. Scripture tells us that all our righteousness is our filthy rags. None are righteous, no not one, it says. And so Paul exhorts us, be empowered in the Lord and the might and strength of him. It is God's work, he came to us, to you and to me. He called us by name, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies. And he sent his son to willingly come and took on human flesh as we are, and suffered and died, and was obedient. He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus came and defeated Satan and death for us, because we could not do it of and by ourselves. And he empowers us to do battle against these evil forces through the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he empowers us through his Holy Spirit, which he gave us as a free gift at our baptism. That we are called, drafted, if you will, into his service. And no matter what our position is in the church, we must always have that word with us as an integral part of our whole being. Not merely some intellectual knowledge or a strength, but it must be a part of us, an extension of everything we say and do. And as soldiers, as swordsmen, we must recognize that this word must be used carefully, for it is a word of great power. It cuts to the spirit and to the soul of man. When we encounter sin in our own lives or in the lives of our brothers and sisters, we are to bring the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to bear, to cut out the cancers of pride, selfishness, greed, fornication, arrogance, apathy, drunkenness, and dissension. Just as a doctor would use a scalpel to cut out a cancer. For God will judge and punish all who do such things and do not repent and come and receive his mercy at the cross. This is the force of the law to make us aware of our sin and to bring us to the cross to receive his mercy. And likewise, when we are afflicted, or our brothers and sisters are afflicted, we are to bring the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to bear in the situation. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a surgeon goes in and cuts and restores arteries, that a person may be whole once again, the word of God brings redeeming, healing, restoration to our spiritual and physical lives. For by his stripes we are healed. Finally, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That word, the word in your life, and the word in my life, is Jesus. He says that we no longer have to fear the forces of evil that attack us. Jesus is the living word who defeated them and has arisen. Therefore, let us stand in the power and the might of his strength, knowing that in him all things are forgiven, and that in him we have eternal life. As we partake of the word and the sacraments regularly, we continue to receive his forgiveness, and we continue to be empowered with his strength. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.